Amen. So the 18th chapter, just a little background for this passages we're going to study tonight, begins with Jesus teaching and calling us to persistent faith, a faith that never gives up, always persistent. Unless you're always persistent, you'll try something for a while, and when it doesn't work, you'll go, okay, I tried, I was persistent. But to have constant persistence is to never, ever, never, ever, never, 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 ever, ever give up. So that's how the story opens. And then Jesus has some children that are coming around, and he actually uses the children to illustrate his point. The disciples are trying to push the children away. He said, no, let the little children come to me. He said, this is what the kingdom of God is all about. And I really believe that the church of Jesus should be more like Jesus taught us to be, and he wants us to be more childlike. That's what he said. The kingdom of God is like these guys, a little more joy. A little more joy. Just notify your face about that truth. A little more joy, a little more playfulness, a little less taking yourself so seriously. Just, it's such a relief when you don't take yourself so seriously, because nobody else does. Just let it go. In fact, he says, if you want to get into the kingdom of God, and how many want that to happen, you want to get into the kingdom of God, you've got to come in like a child with simple, childlike trust and faith. That's how you get in. Then there was a rich young ruler, a leader, a religious to the bone guy listening, and he says, it's got to be more complicated than that. It can't just be simple childlike faith that brings you into the kingdom of God. I've been working really hard, and my work must count for something. And so though Jesus has already told us how to get into the kingdom of God with simple childlike faith, the rich young ruler says, what must I do to get into the kingdom of God? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus answers him by saying, hey, keep the commandments. And that's just the answer he wanted to hear. He said, well, good. I'm glad you said that, Jesus, because I'm really good at keeping the commandments. And Jesus mentioned several of them. And he said, I kept those ones. Then Jesus said, there's one thing that you're lacking, though. And there's always one thing you're lacking. Remember we said that? If Jesus looked at us, there's always one thing you're, because you can't be good enough. It's just too far between your life and the kingdom of God. My youngest brother lives in Corpus Christi, Texas, which is about straight across the Gulf of Mexico. And if we went down to the Gulf of Mexico and we all tried to jump to Corpus Christi, some of us would do better than others. But nobody would make it to Corpus Christi. What you would need is for someone to pick you up and take you there. That's what Jesus said. Hey, I'm going to come. I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to take you there with simple childlike faith. And the rich young ruler says, no, I've been keeping all the commandments. And then Jesus, he zeroed right in on what that guy's issue was. I don't know what your issue is, but Jesus knows what it is. It could be materialism. For this rich young ruler, it was materialism. And he said, okay, well, if you really want the kingdom of God, what you've got to do is divest yourself. You've got to practice radical generosity. Just give it all away, bless poor people, and come and follow me. And the Bible says the rich young ruler went away very sad, filled with sorrow, because he was very rich. And then Jesus says, hey, it's easier for a camel to get through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to get into heaven. And we told you, a lot of people have speculated, well, that was a camel trying to get into the city by the side gate. That wasn't true. Some say it's a rope trying to get through the eye of a needle. That's not true. What Jesus was literally saying is, it is humanly impossible for a rich person to get saved. Listen carefully. I'll tell you this. it is humanly impossible for you to get saved. So maybe I'll say it a little slower so you get it. It is humanly impossible. It's as impossible as trying to fit a camel through. Now, we don't have a lot of camels around here. But on the way here, you may have driven by some cows. You could just substitute a cow that we drove by on the way. It would just try to fit one of those cows through the eye of a needle. How many could do it? Nobody. In fact, when Jesus said that, the disciples said, whoa, then who can get saved? And Jesus answered it, and this is where we ended off last time, verse 27, when the disciples said in verse 26, well, then who can be saved? If it's humanly impossible to get saved, to come into the kingdom of God, then who can get saved? And Jesus' answer is right on point. It's what he was trying to teach. Verse 27, the things which are impossible humanly, it may be humanly impossible for you to get into the kingdom of God, for you to inherit eternal life, but with God, all things are possible, including your salvation. Glory be to God. It's not about what you can do, keeping the commandments, working really hard. You can't jump to Corpus Christi. You can't make it. The Bible says all of us fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus came to build that bridge between where your life is right now and where God is. And when it's impossible with God, it is possible with God. Now, Peter was still thinking. He was thinking about that rich man who wouldn't give up his riches. Let me promise you this, though. If that rich young ruler had trusted Jesus, gave away everything, and followed Jesus, how many think that he would have had a better life or a worse life? It's a better life, I promise you. Not just a better life by and by when we die in the sky, but a better life the moment he started following Jesus. When, Darla and I will tell you, whenever God asks you to give something up, you never lose it. Never. Whenever we've opened our hand, and there's a couple of times we've had to go all in our life, just push everything to the center of the table, say, God, we take our hands off. It's all in. We have never one time not had food on our table, a roof over our head, joy in our hearts. The Jesus life is the best life. So Peter is thinking about that rich young ruler that wandered off, and Peter was sort of patting himself on the back, saying, oh, what a good boy am I, you know. That young man wouldn't give it up for us, but Jesus, oh, Jesus, look what good guys we were, because we left our fishing nets. Remember, Jesus? I had a fishing business. It was thriving. We weren't catching any fish, but it was thriving. Remember when Jesus called him? There were no fish in the nets. He says, we left that business to follow you. So we follow the words of Peter and Jesus, starting in verse 28. And I am amazed that Mama D is out tonight, because little Ellie is in the tiny town. This shows you the great love she has for you, dear saints of God. Did you say something?
Yeah. She's sitting with her mother in the sanctuary, or in her small group.
So that's why you're out. Okay, now it's clarified.
Okay,
that makes a lot more sense now.
Okay,
I thought it was your great love for the church and how much you love
it.
I was going to tell them that, but actually.
Well, I didn't want the tiny town workers to feel ripped off, thinking she was back there and hidden somewhere. So she's not.
Verse 28.
Praise the Lord. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you.
We're doing really well. Now listen to Jesus' answer.
So he said to them, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God, who shall not receive many times more in this present time and in the age to come eternal life.
So thank you. Just see these words. Receive many times more, what does Jesus say, in this present time. Now, I'm not saying that all comes like you give like $100 and you get $1,000. I don't say that. But I will tell you this. When you release and trust Jesus with the things he asks you to release and trust, there are always greater blessings actually that you receive in this life through many different ways that you can't even imagine. And bonus, in the world to come. So I promise you that if this rich young ruler had trusted Jesus, done what Jesus asked him to do, he would have had a much better life than the life he chose. And so Jesus is saying to Peter, no, Peter, what? You may think you gave up a lot. You didn't give up nothing. Because the point he's still driving home, and don't miss it, it's not because of the things you give to me that save you. It's because of what I gave to you. You hear that? It's not you. It's not. I know you are the most blessed people in this church. I know it because you come to Wednesdays. The best. I'm just telling you, my favorite people, the ones that are most precious to me, are here on Wednesdays. But that doesn't mean you're more saved than the weekend people. Because it's not by what you do, it's by what he's already done for you. And that's what Jesus is saying. Peter, you think you gave up a lot. You think it's because of something you did. No. You gave up nothing. Nothing, Peter. Your salvation comes for the rich man and a guy like you, Peter, a fisherman who was broke before I met you. Well, not really broke, but bad night of fishing. It's still the same. It's by the grace of God that we are saved. That's what he's saying. And so you don't give, so you go, wow, you know, I'm here on Wednesday. What a good, and you are a good person, I'll give you that. Yeah, very good. But that's not the source. The rich man felt like his hard work, his following of the commandments had allowed him to amass his wealth and prosperity. It was his. So when Jesus asked for it, it was his, because he was his own source and supply. What Jesus is teaching, no. The source and supply is God, not you. And when we get that right, this world becomes better and the next world becomes better as well. Thanks be to God for the Lord's gift to us, full gift, coming by grace. Thanks be to God for what Jesus gave up on the cross, not what we give up in our lives. Now, with that as the background of the chapter so far, that we are saved by grace, it's humanly impossible for salvation to come. That's why we now track the story into Jesus. He's going to talk about the cross. The background is, get that, the context is, he's been teaching them, salvation doesn't come by what you do, it's because what I do. And now for the third time in this book, they've been moving since chapter 9, if you remember, since chapter 9, they've been on a journey. All the stories we've read have been on that journey towards Jerusalem. And in Jesus' mind, he has taught them, Jerusalem equals the cross. Jerusalem equals my death, but also my burial and my resurrection. So the third time he's going to teach them, right on the heels of teaching them, hey, salvation doesn't come whether you're rich or poor. It's humanly impossible. It's only possible with God. You can't jump to Corpus Christi, but I can pick you up and take you there. And then he teaches them about the cross, verse 31.
Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again.
So that in essence is the gospel, that Jesus will die. And we're getting ready to celebrate this. All around the world, we're in that season where we should be thinking about the cross. It's one of the reasons why we're together in the series on the weekend, so that as we come to the table of the Lord, as we come to communion, we're thinking about what Jesus did for us. When we come into Holy Week and we have some special services, we're just praying that this is a season where your spiritual growth will be accelerated. And that can happen. You can have normal spiritual growth, or you can have accelerated spiritual growth. This is a season in the year, especially as we put our faith in the cross and what Jesus did on the cross. This is a season where your faith can be accelerated, thanks be to God. And Jesus is saying, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be delivered to the Gentiles. I'm going to lose my life. And when I read, or when Darla read those words, when we read them out of the scriptures, doesn't it seem pretty clear what Jesus is saying? But his disciples listening to him, it went right over their head. Now, this is the third time, which gives me great, you know, as a preacher, this really encourages me. Because he has now said the same thing three times in a row, and they still aren't getting it. Sometimes when I'm looking out at you, giving the word, teaching, I'm just wondering, are they getting it or are they thinking about Chick-fil-A after church? Just don't know. But these guys are listening. Just listen, here are the words. Darla read them. I'm going to be delivered to the Gentiles. I'm going to be mocked. These are not difficult words. Insulted, spit upon. They're going to scourge me and they're going to kill me. How many of you just understand that language? And how many know Jesus could be very plain spoken? And these are very plain words. Say that I'm going to go, they're going to whip me, they're going to kill me, and then on the third day, don't worry, I'm coming back. Now listen to the next verse. But they understood none of those things. Are you getting this? Are you understanding any of it? Let me promise you this. Jesus is trying to say some stuff to you every single day. And for some of you, it's going right over your head. And it's very plain. Very plain. And thankfully, Jesus is very patient. He's told them once. He's told them twice. Third time, and still they don't get it. They understood, not even some of them, they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they didn't know the things that were spoken. Now, every time I have personal devotions and I read the scriptures, or I come to even preach, I always pray, Lord, I want to have a spirit of wisdom and understanding. I don't want to just read the words. I want them to say to me the things that Jesus wants to say to me. Because there's some things that Jesus is trying to say. Whatever season you're at in your life, there are some things that Jesus is trying to say to you. My question is, are you getting it? Are you understanding it? And I'm going to say to you, it's not too difficult. Jesus is speaking pretty plainly. So here's the prayer I pray always. I read the scriptures, my personal devotional time, preaching, because a lot of stuff comes to me while I'm in mid-flight. I'm a jazz preacher, if you haven't figured that out yet. I like classical preachers. I listen to them. They're beautiful. And the beauty of a classical musician is playing the notes as diligently as they were written. And so if Beethoven wrote it, you want to play it like just the notes exactly. The beauty of jazz is just winging it. It's the improvisational rift. It's the thought that comes to you in the moment. But it's much easier to be a classical because you just hit the notes. And so when you preach this way or teach this way, it's like walking on a high wire. Where was I? I was illustrating my point with that question. I was just going, that's the way it is. So Jesus says, this is how the kingdom of God works. You come into it. I died. That's how you come in. Now you just believe this with childlike faith and you're in the kingdom of God. And they're like not getting it. So my real question, and I think it's a legitimate question for us to ask today is, Lord, what have you been trying to say to me? And am I getting it? Lord, I want to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation is when the lights go on. You walk into a dark room, you can't see things. and Revelation turns the light on. Oh, now I understand. Pray this prayer. Pray it often. Pray it while you're in worship. Lord, let me have ears to hear what you want to say to me today. Let me understand what change do you want to work in me today? What change, even while we're in the midst of Luke 18, what change do you want to bring to me? So we're not like these disciples just going over, just going that not understanding, going right over our head. Now, with that as a, this is important. I'm just showing you the importance of how the scriptures are placed. We just talked about the disciples missing out, not understanding. Could I say it like this? They were spiritually blind. Okay, close your eyes. Close your eyes, everyone. Close your eyes. Can you see me? No. Now open your eyes. You can see me now. Very good. So it was like Jesus was talking. They were spiritually deaf or spiritually blind, which is why on the heels of that teaching comes the story of blind Bartimaeus. Because you can read the story of blind Bartimaeus and go, oh, I'm not blind, it's not for me. Ah, don't let this be happening. Or, I don't know what Jesus is trying to do in my life. I just can't figure it out. It's so hard. I'm reading the scriptures, I'm not getting anything. I'm coming to church, I'm listening, the pastors, the teachers, I'm not getting it. Blind Bartimaeus teaches you. You need to get passionate about having open eyes, and I would also say open ears. That's why this story is placed right here after Jesus' teaching on persistence. We're going to wrap that in a moment. Childlike faith, not earning salvation, pure gift of God, thanks be to God. And then that we simply need to be people that understand this. And not go, okay, Lord, I know it's all about you, but I'm sure I get credit for being here on Wednesday nights. With me you do. But no, Jesus. Now, Jesus loves hanging out with you. So Jesus loves you to be here. But it doesn't like forward your salvation. And if you can get away from that working, striving, and just relax and receive the very things we were worshiping about earlier, that amazing grace, you will find that your spiritual life grows much more. Because when he picks you up, he takes you farther than you can take yourself. When you rest in that grace, he gets you all the way to Corpus Christi, and it's a lovely spot. Or actually, we should reverse that, because you really would like to jump from Corpus Christi to Sarasota, because Sarasota is much nicer than Corpus Christi. Yeah, a little revelation right there. Just hit me right there. That's a little rift right there. Just hit me. So here's blind Bartimaeus' story. Here it is, verse 36.
Then it happened as he was coming near Jericho that a certain blind man sat by the road begging, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.
So we know, I didn't want you to go farther. So we know from Mark 10, if you're taking some notes, that this, the name of this blind man was Bartimaeus. And he's right, Jericho is very close to Jerusalem. In fact, pilgrims coming towards Jerusalem would come through Jericho. The last two stories that we're going to deal with before Jesus gets into Jerusalem, because he's getting very close, is this story with Bartimaeus, and then another story that takes place in Jericho with Zacchaeus. We won't do that one tonight, but Bartimaeus. So Bartimaeus has positioned himself fairly in a good place because pilgrims that are going to the holy city of Jerusalem, thinking about God, thinking about pilgrimage, are more likely to be generous on their way to Jerusalem. So he's been very strategic at where he's located himself, on the road to Jerusalem, and he's crying out, alms, money, I need some help. Could you help a blind guy out? Can you, that's all day, every day. Can you help me? Because there's no welfare system. If people are not generous with him, he doesn't eat. So he needs, so he's become very proficient at raising his voice for the cause of money. But then he hears some commotion coming down the road, and he says, what's going on? Is this a big crowd? How should I phrase my pitch? He's just trying to read the crowd. Like, he knows when you go, okay, what kind of guys are, what's their background? Who are these people? And someone says, it's Jesus of Nazareth, and he had heard about Jesus. And all of a sudden, he changes his tune from money, money, alms, money, to Jesus, Son of David, the Messiah. He recognized you are the Messiah. He believed he was the Messiah. Have mercy on me. And he gets extremely passionate to overcome his blindness. Now, let me tell you this. For those of you that have been in a season of the words just, you need to capture the passion of Bartimaeus when it comes to opening up to spiritual things. Yeah. It's not like a casual prayer. Oh, God, okay, just okay, I'll just pray. I'll try that prayer, Scott. God, anoint my ears. Hopefully something will happen. Oh, God, give me a spirit of wisdom and maybe some revelation. No, there's in passion. Jesus! I just imagine me getting up to speak and someone just, Jesus! I gotta get something today! Oh no, that would disturb the service. Well, don't worry, those people that think that way, they're in the story here. They heard him crying out, verse 39, and they warned him, you're disturbing the service. You're messing things up. We would like Jesus to know that Jericho is a dignified place. Hush. Someone would even say, shut your mouth. Which is something we don't even say in my house. Those are illegal words in our house. We never say them. Not even to the dog. We just don't use that language. But I'm sure somebody wasn't raised in my house. Somebody just said, just shut up. Be quiet. They were not kind to him. And when he heard them say, hey, just settle down. Just be quiet. What did he do? What did he do? Some of you need the spirit of Bartimaeus, so you better get this. He cried all the more. Jesus! If you don't do something today, I'm not leaving. Scott, come on, it's Wednesday. Don't be so radical. I have to teach this. Because this is what Jesus, the disciples are. So Jesus puts in this story about this man who had, watch this. Remember how the chapter started? Remember the opening part of the chapter? The woman who would not give up. At the end of the chapter, the man who would not give up. Persistence at their bookends to this chapter. Persistence at the beginning, persistence at the end, and there should be persistence every day in between. So for you, persistence from the moment you understand this truth to the moment you go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Persistence. He will not shut up. He just is, and he's calling out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He just didn't care what other people thought about him. He cared about one thing. One thing. His eyes being opened. Now, when you're like, I'm listening, I'm not getting it. There has to be a holy desperation that gets a hold of your soul, and it's the main thing that you cry out, Lord, I'm coming to your house. I don't care what songs they sing. I don't even care what Scott talks about. You and me are going to meet each other. Holy desperation. So Jesus stood still, stopped the entourage, stopped the parade into Jericho, and commanded that Bartimaeus be brought to him. And when he comes near, Jesus asked a very interesting question. what do you want me to do for you? Which is interesting. When you need mercy, mercy is a broad subject. You may need mercy as a second chance. You may need mercy as a healing. You may need mercy as a spiritual renewal and revival. Mercy is something God can do that you can't do yourself. That's mercy. You reach out for mercy. He wanted to know, well, what kind of mercy exactly do you want? And the man's answer is filled with faith. Notice that the man doesn't just say, oh, Jesus, would you please pray for me? He is specific in what he has faith for. Lord, I want to receive my sight. There was a desperate, he knew exactly, Lord, I know what I need. For those of us that things have been going over our head, we've been missing out on the voice of Jesus, Lord, I want to hear what you are saying to me clearly and without any equivocation. I want to follow what you're saying to me. If you ask me to do it, go all in, I'm going to go all in. I'm just going to do what you asked me to do. And Jesus says, wow, you know what you want and you are going to receive it. So Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And if you remember, just I'm going to point out the Greek word, sozo, which is well. This is one of the stories. And when we talked about communion on the first message in the series, we taught that Jesus saves you, and that word save means a lot of things. That's what that word is right here. So this man was saved from his blindness. Sozo, your faith has made you, your faith has saved you. In fact, some translations put it that way. Your faith has healed you, your faith has sozoed you, your faith has saved you. And that's what we need. When we're not clearly hearing from God, we need the same kind of determination and we need the same kind of salvation. And immediately he received his sight, he got up, joined in the parade, followed Jesus, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Hallelujah. So, when we have a dry season, come to church, we're reading the scriptures, and we're like those disciples. It's like a fog. It's just going over your head. There needs to be a holy desperation like Bartimaeus had, and a passion to have your spiritual ears open, a passion to have your spiritual eyes open, that you would receive not from any person here, but that you would receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, would you please put in hearts that really need this revelation, this truth, a holy desperation. That we don't care what other people think. We don't care what other people are saying to us. Even trying to diminish our spiritual intensity. Lord, we want what you've got. We need mercy. And there are many kinds of mercy that are needed, but we need your mercy. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Lord, open up our eyes that we can start to see, oh, there's where your hand is working. Oh, Lord, you've been good, and I didn't even know it. Oh, Lord, you've been working behind the scenes, and I was so unaware. I've been so caught up in my own worry and my own depression. Oh, Lord, thank you for opening my eyes so I can finally get it. I can finally understand. And Jesus, we want to thank you for your incredible patience. You keep telling us over, and hey, I'm going to Jerusalem. It's going to be a cross, and there's going to be a resurrection. And when we don't get it, you say, oh, okay, there's going to be a cross, and there's going to be a resurrection, and there's going to be a cross, and there's going to be a resurrection. Lord, thank you for your incredible patience. And most of all, Lord, thank you that when we can't make the jump, you pick us up and you take us to where we need to be. Lord, I would pray for a revival, a renewal of childlike faith. So we just trust you, Jesus. We just trust you. We just try. Lord, give us the right words. Put your word into us, Lord. So we're not trusting everybody else's word running all around. We would ignore all the other voices and just push through the crowd and hear you call our name so you and we can get together, God. And that's where a miracle will take place. So, Lord, we pray that you would give us that simple childlike trust that you do all things well, that you save us, that you heal us, and that you give us mercy. For this, we give thanks and praise. And all of God's kids say, amen. Hey, we'll see you on the weekend. God bless you guys. Amen. God bless. Yeah. God bless.